Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state's evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Took off the blades and loosened up the tie. Stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We are back locked and loaded as week three in the college football season ends. We are walking right into week two of the NFL season. And oh yes, summertime, you have a little bit of time left. That's right, because the fall is coming. That's right. This is the week that fall comes in line. This is my favorite season of the year. I can care less on how people look at it, whether they are spring people, summer people. Some people love the winter. I like when December comes, but January, February, only like for January, February for the playoffs. But, you know, March comes around. I'm not a spring guy. Got to deal with allergies, things of that nature. But fall is here. Everything goes down from MLB postseason. The NFL season's kicking off. NBA's coming around the corner. College basketball, college football. I mean, this is it. I mean, this is the frenzy of sports, man, and you are now in the bunch, man. Again, I already gave y'all the number. Go to sportscitychefs.com. Check all the merchandise that we have, from T-shirts to hoodies. We even got masks for you. We even got caps for you. We got hats, too, so you can rep Sports City all across the world. Not just the city, but the world. Craig, let me get some of these co-hosts in the building. Calling in by way of the state of Iowa, by way of Louisiana, I have Mr. Harvey in the building. Mike, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good, man. Thank you. How you doing?
Doing all right. Getting ready to kick this thing off. We got a lot to jump into before we get into the week two predictions and picks and things of that nature. And also another co-host and the bad side of me, but one of the big pillars here in Sports City, we have the villain himself, Mr. Jordan. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Super. I'm doing good, man. You know, he took off the blazer and took off the tie and all that, but the villain's got the mask on, raw flesh and all that. So I'm ready to go. What's going on, big brother?
Mask off. What you say? Don't make me say it off over here. I feel it some type of way. I had an angry Saturday, been mad as ever with a lot of stuff that went down for me Saturday. But this is sports, man. You got to take the good with the bad. And right now, they threw a little kryptonite at me, but we'll get into this as best as possible. Like I said, it's an interesting race toward the MLB postseason. Some teams are fighting for position. We'll see who's last left standing. And an interesting argument that I just wanted to say the name. I don't think we'll probably get to it, but Manny Mercado and Fernando Tatis Jr. got into an argument? Really? Right now? Like, why start right now? Like, just not in September. Like you guys got to calm down and get this thing flowing. And I'm going to be honest. I have not talked relevant San Diego Padres baseball to me since Tony Gwynn was around. Like that's one of my heroes growing up. And they haven't been there since they lost to the Yankees in that World Series run. At least to me, like it may have been some years that they had some shock value and may have had a postseason run, but not like that. And this is a team that has an offense that I feel like can have it happen. But go ahead. I was gonna let you guys get it anyway.
No,
go ahead.
No, you're good. I think what has happened here, because the Padres going into the to the season. They were supposed to be this team to really push. They were the only team that was supposed to be able to really push the Dodgers. You know, they had Manny Machado. They had Fernando Tatis. So that, you know, Machado is the guy they gave the big contract to. Tatis, a homegrown talent who just signed the big contract too. And then they made a couple of trades at the deadline to try to get better. But this team has struggled. They have not been playing very good baseball through August and September, and I think it's just finally boiling over. I mean, obviously what the Giants have done has been impressive in that division, but right now the Padres are struggling even to get into that last wild card until they have underperformed, and I think this is just a product of the underperformance on the field this year.
Okay, Barry, is there anything that you'd like to add to the conversation?
No, I mean, Mike hit it all on the head. I mean, you know, like you said, they were a team that was supposed to challenge the Dodgers. And, you know, they since the second half, 23-32, 2.5 games back to the Cardinals, the pressure is mounting. I mean, at first, when you look at it, it looks like jealousy between Machado and Tatis. But I don't really think it's that. You know, I think it's deeper. I think it's the pressure that they're not playing well and they're supposed to be playing well that's kind of, you know, getting on them. And, you know, listen, they made a lot of moves in the offseason to challenge the Dodgers, and it hasn't worked out in the second half particularly. So they got a lot of work to do and not a lot of time to do it.
Well, we'll see how this thing commences as we get closer to the October Classic, if you will, and see if they can, you know, make difference up against the Dodgers, the defending champs. And it is pretty interesting across the board, especially in the NL West and definitely in the AL East, are looking at some of these contending divisions on how they make the push to at least try to win their division or make a push toward wild card positions, because literally it's tight in certain situations. And unbelievable how some teams have this gap, like looking at how Tampa's still able to have this lead in the East, at least being 7.5 away from the Red Sox, because the Red Sox made this interesting as well. So, I mean, these are just some of the situations that are going on right now. I mean, if you guys want to allude to it, I can get to some baseball before I get to the college football side of things, because you have the Blue Jays that are 8.5 back, the Yankees are 9, and I don't even want to talk about the Orioles. That's just not either here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, TP, I'll take it real quick. Bro, yeah, the AL East is the best division I've seen in a long time, top to bottom. I mean, the Orioles are a bad team, but they're scrappy. They hit and they run. They're actually a pretty decent 47-win team. If you can say that, it's kind of funny to say that, but they're going to get better. The Rays are the class of the AL. They're unbelievable. They got questions with their pitcher Wu though. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but Boston's making it interesting. I didn't know if Boston was going to hang on to the wild card. They're hanging in there. Toronto is one of the best hitting teams in the league, and the Yankees are just struggling and scuffling against teams they need to beat. But, you know, it's going to be a tight race coming down to the wire. Most of the teams in the AL East are going to be playing each other. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, out west in the National League, the Dodgers are just waiting to see who they're going to play in the home game. For the wild card. So I don't know. What do you say, Mike?
They could still catch the Giants, possibly.
They could. But I think, you know, at worst, they're going to be hosting that game. I really don't think they're going to. I think the Giants are just – they're too scrappy. I think they're just going to take that division. But, you know, other than that, the NL East is a struggle to look at. You know, the Mets are still in it, and they're 5 games under 500. So, but listen, that AL East is the best I've seen in a while, TP.
That NL East is the second worst division this year in baseball, because just how mediocre those teams are. The AL West is pretty bad. That's probably the worst of the divisions. But both those divisions are a little below par for sure.
So, Mr. Jordan, since we're here and right now talking baseball,
mm-hmm.
Can the Blue Jays hold the Yankees out of that wild card spot?
Yes. Mm. Yes, they can. They're a good team.
Really?
I'm not saying it as, you know, I'm saying it objectively, not as a Yankee fan. The Blue Jays have played better than the Yankees in the second half. For the most part, I think – head-to-head, they've beaten them. I don't think the Yankees can figure out that lineup. That lineup, top to bottom,
is so deep and the Yankees bullpen is so overworked and so taxed, and it's starting to show through. There's signs that Severino can come back, but I don't know if he's going to help. I think if you put him in the bullpen, he can. But Toronto can keep the Yankees out of the playoffs. You know what I mean? Let's be clear. They can keep them out of the playoffs.
And to your point, Barry, if they get enough pitching, that Blue Jays, with the lineup that they have, they're scary against anybody. Like, I feel like the White Sox are probably the favorites in the American League right now going into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But that Blue Jays offense is something serious. If they get enough pitching, they can scare anybody.
I don't like the White Sox. I think their bullpen is really good. They got a lot of flamethrowers, but they just don't come up big when they're supposed to. I think TP has seen them enough to know that. Houston is a dangerous team, but Tampa Bay is a favorite for me. They're the best team in the AL by far. I think they check every box defensively. Offense is really good with Nelson Cruz. Their pitching is good. I mean, they check every box for me, so.
I agree with you on that. Tampa had a little bit of a struggle with starting pitching for a little while, but where some of their guys just were failing to go deeper in games and such. But, no, I mean, that team just finds a way to get it done every year.
And the interesting thing that I look at with Tampa Bay is, and I don't like to use this factor, but I do use it. I feel like it's fair. And I like this about sports is that they got punched in the face last year in the World Series. And knowing that where they were last year, that close to a championship, and to me, I'm going to just say this personally, not even analytically, but I feel like sports owed the Dodgers that World Series because of what happened with them,
yes,
quote-unquote, in the World Series up against the Astros. So it's like they get there, and it's like they can't be stopped at this point in time, even to the fact of, one of the players having COVID at, the last game and the last couple of innings, they pulled him off the field and they didn't want him to go out there and celebrate. He's like, I got to celebrate. Like, they already been around me. Like, and it's like everything had to go the Dodgers way at that point in time because destiny was on their side. Now it's like, Tampa's like, we can't get to that point in time in a season and just fall apart, let alone a lot of momentum was on their side and America was on their side too at that point in time because people didn't want to like the mantra of the way that the Astros may have won that World Series or what they did to win that World Series. And I know that's a whole other rabbit hole discussion. And, I mean, either way that can go, to me, I feel like the Astros offense did play well, but just knowing that they had an advantage to pick up, a pitcher signals and being able to take advantage of some quality hitters at that point in time was like a perfect storm to get the Dodgers at that point in time. But now that that's passed, we have to see if the Dodgers one could actually – get back in front, which it is possible, like it was said, to at least win the NL West, or two, to win the National League altogether. And then three, Tampa Bay now having an added gun with Nelson Cruz being a part of that lineup. They have an interesting run, at least in the AL altogether. But like I said, I want to see how the wild card pans out because it is interesting that the Red Sox got back into this thing and the Blue Jays have been playing some very inspired baseball. Shout out to Vlad Jr. This guy is tattooing pitches, and the team is actually following that momentum also. And just waiting to see if the Yankees can actually consistently, like the one thing about the Yankees that is dangerous is that they've always been one of the stronger offenses that we've ever seen year in and year out. I want to say since 95. And then before that, it's like that's when, you had your ups and downs with the Yankees. But 95 up, it's like you had to worry about the offense that they could produce. It's just that their pitching is what, like, slows them down or defensively. Or sometimes the bats just don't wake up sometimes. But majority of the time, you look at them as a powerhouse offensively. And teams have been able to survive the storm and take advantage of the Yankees one way or another in their pitching staff. So if they can hold the Yankees out with the team that they paid right now at this point in time, there's going to be a lot of questions looming from Cashman on up. So we will see
Yankees
how this does pan out. Say that again?
Yankees still trying to figure out their defense, man. They just recently moved Gleyber Torres off shortstop because he kept making errors and moved Urshela over there. So they're still trying to figure out what that defense is going to look like in the middle of September.
I mean, and Barry, is there anything you want to add to it before I do walk away from that?
Yeah, the defense is a troublesome thing. I think Gleyber Torres has just not responded to playing shortstop for the last 2 years, let alone this year. I think defense is one problem. I think pitching is another outside of Garrett Cole, who's a Cy Young candidate. They're just not getting enough consistency. I think the starting is meh, but I think the bullpen is really not good. It's really struggled, and I don't know where they turn. It's like they struggle to get those last 9 to 12 outs, and those are the hardest ones to get for them right now. So, and then one day when they do get pitching, the hitting doesn't show up. So it's a mess. It really is. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs, but if they did, I wouldn't be surprised either. So it's kind of like a 50-50.
Okay, so I will stop there as we approach the postseason coming up soon in the next coming weeks. And I'm ready for fall. Fall is this week. We're going to get into at least the top 25. If there's some games outside of the top 25 that I recognize and I want to talk about score-wise, I will. Or if you guys have a game that I may miss, I want you to, like, just discuss it or talk about how you think things went down. So I'll start from the top. First, we have Alabama and a nail-biter up against Florida. Now, I am not going to lie. I knew this would be an interesting game. I did not think that this would come down to the wire. The spread was 14.5, and Gators, I have to give you credit on the way that you fought back with Alabama. But, of course, this powerhouse of Nick Saban and company, that's exactly how I'll have to look at it, win this game 31-29 with an interesting stop at the end of the game, which could have potentially tied this thing. And the Crimson Tide go into the swamp to steal this one, 31-29. The next matchup I have, Georgia takes care of business up against South Carolina, 40-13, to where they were clearly outmatched by halftime. It was 26-6 at half. It was 40-6 by the end of the fourth. I mean, the start of the fourth quarter, and they just let South Carolina get a touchdown on the board to actually get them double digits, 40-13. Interesting matchup in the top three. Oklahoma wins at home 23-16 up against a Nebraska team. To me, I feel like they have to make or break this season. I feel like Nebraska has to start winning games to get people to come to that university to help turn that thing around. They were a quality powerhouse. Nebraska has no more luster there. They have to try to pick these games up. But this game was a fight, 23-16 in a one-score game. These are the questions that I do have about Oklahoma, is that they don't play, like, consistent football. They will continually play down to the competition, and I think this is one thing that does hurt them, season in and season out. We have another top five matchup. Oregon takes care of Oregon's a top five team, not a top five matchup, but they take care of business up against Stony Brook, 48-7, cruising at home in Eugene. The next top five, and this is a surprise that they are a fifth-ranked team. Iowa wins their matchup up against Kent State, 30-7. This is the one thing that I have to say about the Hawkeyes. Play like this when it's the end of November going into December. When that Big Ten tournament comes around, I want to see you guys be able to win that game, not just attend that game. So, of course, they take care of their side of the division. They're 3-0 at this point in time. I think the committee is doing them justice, putting them fifth ranked, but we will see as time persists. Clemson wins their matchup up against Georgia Tech 14-8 and a nail-biter where this did come down to the end of the game and a critical safety that happened at the end of the game too, which clearly I think the NCAA needs to investigate because he was out of the end zone, but they counted that as a safety. 14-8, Clemson hangs on to knock off Georgia Tech. Texas A&M sucks out in Mexico 30.
I'm sorry, real quick. That Clemson offense is a little leaves a lot to be desired right now. It's a little bit anemic. They got good defense and a lot of star athletes, but Clemson is having trouble getting things on track offensively, as evident by that score.
And we'll see how things move forward in the ACC for Clemson as they continue to move on, and their winning streak continues at 2. Texas A&M shuts out New Mexico 34-0. And this is an interesting shutout because they just lost their starter and they still kept this thing rolling. Shout out to the Aggies, but New Mexico won their first loss of the season, put up no points in this game. I feel bad that there's no fight, especially in the Texas A&M team where Jimbo's actually trying to keep them content. And this is where I'm looking at that top five situation with Iowa. I feel Texas A&M is a better team than Iowa, but I think that injury is something that the committee is looking at. So we'll see how they judge this one, especially with a shutout on board. Cincinnati wins their matchup in Indiana, 38-24, where Cincinnati clearly had an edge later in the game and cruised to win this game up against the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers fall to 1-2 on the season. Ohio State wins their game up against Tulsa, cruising 41-20 in Columbus, Ohio. We have a upset that went down. Well, I can't even really call it an upset because they're ranked higher, but I felt like Auburn was stronger. But Penn State wins their matchup in a whiteout game, 28-20, in which this is something that I'm interested about Penn State. Why are you guys charged up when you guys wear all white? When the crowd wears all white, you play your best football. If that's the case, I'm telling everybody up here in northern Pennsylvania, you guys wear white every freaking game. I don't want to play one game and you guys get us pumped up to do this. No, wear that every game, and we're going to come out here and kick butt. And against some of the biggest contenders ever, like, I want to play all of them. If they could beat Auburn this like this at the house, like yeah, I'm giving them credit for this one, winning this one 28-20. Moving right along, we have Notre Dame winning their matchup up against Purdue 27-13, in which I felt like Purdue could have made this a game, but Notre Dame has actually dealt with a lot of criticism, especially in their first two matchups against Toledo, winning that by a one-possession game, and also beating Florida State by one possession, too, and they came out and went home and protected their house up against the Purdue Boilermaker team. An upset, UCLA loses at home to Fresno State, 40-37, in which this is the same UCLA Bruin team that upset the LSU Tigers, and I felt like UCLA should cruise as much as possible. They lose to a Fresno State team out of conference at home. It gives me questions on what did we see week one in comparison to where they are now. I have questions for the Bruins moving forward. Another matchup where they had an extreme blowout.
I'm sorry, big ups to Fresno, too. They tested Oregon early this year, too.
Right. In which they actually let UCLA score 20 points in the fourth quarter to make this a game in the fourth quarter. So UCLA did try to fight back, but too little too late. Iowa State blows out UNLV 48-3 in Las Vegas. We have another upset in the top 25, in which West Virginia wins their matchup up against Virginia Tech 27-21. Virginia Tech is the same team that pulled off an upset earlier this season, beating North Carolina. And for West Virginia to actually hold on to a former rivalry, because this used to be interesting when they were Big East and West Virginia and Virginia Tech used to go at it when both of them were powerhouses in the same conference, cruising to 2-0 at home for West Virginia. Virginia Tech suffered their first loss on the season. Coastal Carolina has a nail-biter up against Buffalo, 28-25. You have Ole Miss beating the mess out of Tulane, 61-21. We have an upset that I called on another podcast. I didn't say it here, but BYU at home beats Arizona State. Herm Edwards falls short, losing this one by 10. Arkansas cruises up against Georgia Southern, 45-10. North Carolina blows out Virginia, 59-39. Michigan State blows out. Yeah, I'm putting a blowout to it. Miami, 38-17, in which this was a game at halftime. And then after halftime, it was more or less a Michigan State game, and the game plan went out the window for Miami. I have questions for the coaching staff, and that's right. Rhett Lashley and Manny Diaz, I just read something this morning that came to me. CBS Sportsline sent it to me, and it hurt my heart to see this. The Miami Hurricanes are the worst tackling team in the entire country. Not just the top 25, and these guys are ranked 24th, which they'll clearly fall out after this loss. They are the worst tackling university in America. You mean to tell me that Manny Diaz is a defensive specialist and these guys cannot tackle? Get rid of him now. There's no discipline. There's no way that they cannot be responsible for getting the sideline to sideline with all of that speed that they have. And there's clearly a situation where if it's a good running back, they can no longer stop good running backs. Last year, there was a game against North Carolina. They gave up 500 yards rushing. Kenneth Walker went off for 172 yards rushing in this game in Miami. In Miami. And Rhett Lashley, you being an offensive coordinator and watching De'Aaron King tear his knee running. He didn't get hit when he tore his knee. He tore his knee running, and you're still calling run plays for him to scramble – while he's coming back from a torn ligament. Unbelievable. So, De'Aaron King, I'm going to say this, as bad as the situation is, finish your season out as best you can, hopefully in a healthy manner. But I want to see you be able to play football on a Sunday, but I doubt it. I think due to your size, because they won't let him take snaps on the center, it's going to have to happen in the NFL. They can't let him just sit in shotgun all day. And this is something Miami does every single snap. There's no snap that he takes under center at all. He's in shotgun because he's so short. And last but not least, out of the top 25, Michigan murders or mutilates Northern Illinois 63-10, in which I think this is a school record. They had 8 rushing touchdowns. So then they had 1 passing touchdown, but they clearly took care of business up against Northern Illinois. This is a statement win for Michigan to, like, kind of get their wheels going, but they have to come up with big wins up against bigger schools. So this is one thing that I'm waiting on to see if they do have something up their sleeve to have some stronger, you know, wins and matchups. And I've actually been, you know, talked to today that this is the year that Michigan beats Ohio State. I said, okay, I'll wait to see it, because I think the streak is on year 10, if I'm not mistaken. And in the last 20 years, Michigan has won 3 times. This is no longer, to me, this is not a rivalry. This is a game on their schedule. So after me announcing the top 25, I'll let you guys get to games that I discussed, because I wanted to, you know, get in and out of those as best as possible. If there's anything outside of the top 25, you could talk about scores and what you felt about the game presence as well. I'll come to you first on this one, Mike. Your thoughts about any more of the games that I've discussed, or some outside the top 25 that I missed that you would like to discuss?
So a couple things that jump out to me. Tulsa played Ohio State close in the first half of that game. This is the same Tulane team that Ole Miss absolutely blew out. I think you just said 61-21. That came back and really, really pushed Oklahoma in week one. That ended up being a 35-30 game. So, you know, this whole alert on Oklahoma maybe not being a top 5 team by the time it's over, I think that's real. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I have said in many spaces and on this space that I believe that the SEC is the best conference in college football. I will say it again, but I will also say that I will admit when they take it on the chin, and they did yesterday, Auburn goes into Penn State and gets beat yesterday, and then Mississippi State, who's on the fringe of the top 25, goes up to Memphis. And Memphis is a good mid-major program, but they took it on the chin yesterday too. So the SEC definitely took a few lumps yesterday. My Tigers bounced back and played pretty well yesterday too, beating Central Michigan, which, I mean, that's a decent MAC team, and they did what they were supposed to do. But it was nice to see LSU play well on a Saturday night.
Barry, is there any other matchup that I may have missed that you would like to discuss? And there's one that I did miss that I do see right now that I do want to talk about as well. Barry.
Listen, Alabama's in trouble. They're not the number one team in the country. Give Florida credit. They did some good things against them, but this is probably one of the poorer defenses I've seen in Alabama in a while. A lot of missed tackles, easy to run on. They ran for over 258 yards against them, 4 rushing touchdowns, I think. And Alabama, I think, had 100 yards rushing. So Alabama is in trouble. They got probably the 7th toughest schedule remaining, with 4 ranked opponents to come, including Auburn and Texas A&M. Alabama's in trouble. Oklahoma, not seen it yet, but listen, they're the best team that the Big 12 is going to be able to put out there. Two wins against Tulane and Nebraska where they struggled to beat them is not telling me that this is a really power team, but they will most likely win the Big 12, and they will most likely get into that playoff because they're in the Big 12 and they're Oklahoma, but I'm not sold. And then in the Big 10, Ohio State, they're not the best big team in the Big 10. I think it's Penn State right now. Penn State's got 2 good wins against Auburn and Wisconsin, and they got some games left on their schedule that they can easily go through that Big Ten and be the best team out there. Look out for Michigan and Michigan State, to your point. Michigan State had a good win against Miami. and you're right. Miami is not a very good tackling team. The ACC as a whole, I think TP is another big problem for me. They'll probably get a playoff team, but Clemson's not impressive. Miami's not good. Georgia Tech, eh. Wake Forest is maybe probably one of the better teams out of there. The ACC out of the power conferences is, I think, right now below the Pac-12. I don't think they're a very good conference at all. So the Pac-12 will most likely get Oregon in, but Clemson will get in by name alone. I don't think they're a very good football team. I think they struggle to score offensively. Their defense isn't as good as I've seen in the past few years. So that's kind of my takeaways. The big schools at the top that we normally see, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, are coming back down to earth.
I want to say this, go ahead, Mike, and I'll get my land off. Go ahead.
No, my bad. I was just going to say, the one thing that I will say, this was a struggle game for Alabama a little bit. They did give up a lot. I would say when it comes to saying they're in trouble and not the best team in the country, that you may be right, but I would just say not so fast. We have seen some Saban teams that have had, like, a bad game or didn't play well, and they're able to shore up some things. So I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, but I wouldn't be as certain as you seem to be right now on that.
Oh, they're a top three team, top five team, no question about it. But I don't think they're as good as – they're not as good as last year. And that defense, I watched that game. It was a lot left to be desired. So you're right. Saban can get it turned around by the end of the season. But they can mess around and not even win their division and get into that championship game if they don't get it shored up right now.
Barry, you know this line pretty well, and I'm going to use it on you right now. In order to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And nobody is beating the man right now. So until that happens, they are sitting atop the mountaintop. And, oh, by the way, since you're going off of that Florida game, that is a conference matchup that Florida has to want, and that's state line football. They border each other. So you know that rivalry is stronger than ever, and that's probably one of the only teams that can give them a strong fight out of, I think Ole Miss is one, Texas A&M will be two, potentially Mississippi State. I'll add them as three, but I'll say three and a half. I mean, two and a half, but I'll say three. LSU is four. I don't know if Arkansas can, and Auburn maybe five. Like, there's three and a half, maybe four or five teams that could give them a fight this season, which are all credible teams because it is the SEC and they play each other so well. So this is common ground for them to try to lose or have tough games. The LSU game is in Tuscaloosa. The game against Texas A&M actually favors the Aggies because it's in Texas. So Ole Miss is in Tuscaloosa. Mississippi State matchup is in Mississippi, but I feel like they can win that game also. They play Tennessee at home. I don't believe Tennessee, even though they had a big win yesterday also. But that's how I feel about Alabama. To me, they're still the best team in college football, and everybody's going to give them their A-plus game. They don't want to mess up. And plus, they ran into a team with a mobile quarterback. You know what Alabama's been notoriously known for struggling with? Mobile quarterbacks. Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, things of that nature. They've beaten Alabama. They ran into a quarterback that was ready for war, and it actually favored Alabama late to get a stop. So both of their units are tough as ever. But
interesting thing about that, they had the new guy that's supposed to be really good for them wasn't able to play because of an injury last week, and so Emory Jones is a veteran, and he played the whole game yesterday and might have solidified that job for the rest of the year by his performance yesterday.
Right, exactly, the quarterback I was mentioning. But I'm going to say something here and right now on Sports City, and I feel like I may be mean or rude, but I have to say this. I have to. I'm sorry. I got to do this, but I have to. If these teams are not playing quality football for years in and years out, should they be scraped? One of the teams that I am going to mention is the Kansas Jayhawks. They are in a situation where they have not played good football for decades. They may get one win, maybe two, one shock win out of one of these years, so on and so forth. It's bad. They're losing games at an enormous clip. The UConn Huskies are one of the scarier teams in college football. Should they be scrapped? The way that they're losing games, they're getting blown out. Army took care of business and won this game 52-21. And it looked bad before it got to this point of a final score. Like, if Army wanted to, I think they probably could have shut them out if they wanted to. They basically let up on probably a halftime speech by UConn, letting them come out of the tunnel and get two touchdowns in the third. But they were shutting them out. Like, and the way that Ed Saul left, and this university is in shambles. They have not played strong football in the past 3 or 4 years. And it feels like it's going to continue until they get a strong willed coach to probably turn the thing around. And I don't know if anybody's going to come to UConn recruit-wise to help turn it around also. I more or less now look at UConn as a basketball school and not just a school for education and bringing a lot of athletes in to play across the board from Dan Orlovsky, if they want to mention him, because you know how networks love to go to him. But, you know, players of that nature, it's bad to watch UConn struggle. It's bad that teams are beating them by 30 points, at least 30. And the next one that I really want to get to, and I know they won't scrap it because there's a big name around them. At least the first two that I mentioned, those are the ones that I'm like, they need to think about what's going on, how they're going to approach the future, at least in the next 2 to 4 seasons. I'll do that. I'll be fair and say in the next 2 to 4 seasons, if Kansas and Connecticut keep this up, they need to figure out what's going to happen because they're basically playing for fun. They're playing for fun. They're getting beat by everybody. But one of the teams that I am struggling with is Florida State, right?
Real quick, TP, I love this conversation. I was talking to somebody about this too. UConn can't scrap football. The most that they can do is go back to FCS and get out of the FBS because they can't compete in the FBS. But they can't even do that because of their TV contract with CBS Sports that brings in a lot of money. UConn operates on a loss. You know that, right? Like, UConn operates on a loss of about, I don't even know how much it is, a year, a couple million. They need games down the line with Michigan and another couple teams to make that money back to recoup. They can't just scrap football yet. So while they can't scrap football and they can't compete in the FBS, and so then they have to go to FCS, and then they lose that TV money that they're getting, and they lose that. They're stuck. Kansas is another problem, but it's all tied to money. They're in a conference where they get – they're in the big Big 12. They get a share of that money, that TV money that they get from, I think it's ESPN or whoever. So they're not going to scrap football. They'll just stink. They'd still get paid. And basketball makes so much money, they'll be fine. Now, I think there's teams that need to get into the Big 12, like Memphis. Memphis is a good basketball program with Penny Hardaway, and their football team is getting a lot better year after year. They've won some games over the years, and they're 3-0 this year. They need to get respect and get out of the AAC and get into the Big 12. Why wouldn't you take that team over Kansas, a team that's good at basketball and football? That, to me, is a bigger problem. Kansas will never get rid of football. I think they need to commit to it a little bit better, but they make so much money, it doesn't matter to them.
Well, and you're right. When they added UCF, Houston, BYU, and Cincinnati, I thought Memphis may be one of the schools that the Big 12 considered adding to that conference, but alas, it was not to be.
Well, I think I am being brutal, but to continue to watch this be like, okay, how much are they going to lose by? Not like, oh, they're going to lose. Like, it's like, are they going to lose by 27, 33, 35? And, like, looking at how the spreads get aligned, it's like, are you serious that they're going to lose by this much? And then they'll end up being beaten by around that range. It's disgusting. It's not even worth watching that. And the crazy part is if you watch a Kansas game, they got athletes. Like, they have good receivers. They have good secondary players. Like, I feel like they could probably make the league. But as a unit, like, Kansas is bad. And had a coach and Les Miles go there, couldn't turn that thing around, and all the storm came around Les Miles. And it's like, who can potentially save them? They had Charlie Weiss go there. Charlie Weiss couldn't save them. It's like, come on, what do they do? Like, UConn's not even trying to bring a good name there. They brought Edsel there, and Edsel left Maryland and such in the shambles. Like, who are you trying to attain to help turn this thing around? It's bad. It's bad football.
I think Kansas can probably turn it around before UConn does, to your point, TP, if they commit to it. I think if they get the right coach and build the program, because there's enough money that comes into Kansas from basketball, they can turn around. UConn, Edsel should have never came back. And then the coach that they hired before him, I think, was handpicked, and I think the boosters didn't like him. They didn't want him here. They were going to pull money from the program because of the coaching pick that they made. UConn, they're in a tough position because they were closed out of the Big East in basketball when the Big East dissolved. So they're stuck without a conference. They can't go back to the AAC because they screwed them over to go back to the Big East. No conference would take UConn right now because they're not worth the winning goal. You would rather have Rutgers over UConn right now. UConn is stuck where they're independent. They can't get into a conference. They're operating on a loss, but they have TV money that they can't turn away. They have contracts that they have to keep, so they have to stay in the F. They're a mess. And they covered. They covered the 34.5 point spread. This is the first time that they scored against the FBS team in almost 2 years.
Well,
and I'm a UConn fan.
and to your point, like, it makes you wonder, like, I had this conversation with somebody. It makes you wonder if almost college football should consider something like what Europe does in soccer, where you have tiers. And so you're in that first tier, and if you don't compete to a certain level, you get dropped down a tier, and you have to come back up. So each year you have two or three tiers of teams. Because we know, I mean, you look at college football, we know there are some teams that are just not going to be there come championship time. You know what I mean? So you drop in those tiers, and maybe that also helps some of these big conferences and how you figure it out. But, you know, the top teams in one tier can move up, bottom teams in one tier move down. Maybe you consider something like that. To at least have a little bit more competitive games at times.
They need to go to the FCS. They can go to the Colonial Athletic Conference that has Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Delaware, Richmond, and just play there. Maine is there too. That's where they need to go. But they put themselves in this position where they thought they made that bowl game against Oklahoma. I don't want to belabor this because we got a lot of other things to talk about. I'm sorry, TP. But they made it the bowl game against Oklahoma. They got a little bit of that money. But you know what? They made that bowl game and operated on a loss because they couldn't even sell their tickets to that bowl game against Oklahoma like almost 10 years ago. They should have seen the writing on the wall from then. But they thought they could keep building. They were arrogant. Edsel was on his way out right after that game, and it's been a downhill ever since.
Okay, and I wanted to get to it quickly, but Sports City, I apologize because these guys are hungry and they are eating everything that I'm putting out. They are not playing around, right? The last one I want to get to, and I know they won't scrap them, but I'm just saying this because at one point, at all points in time, I will always look at this school as my rival. I will always grit my teeth when I hear those words. I will always look at those colors like it just makes me just ball my fist up, and that's just because of the nature of the sport. And the team that I am mentioning is the Florida State Seminoles. This was a powerhouse.
Blasphemy.
For decades.
Blasphemy. Don't do that. Don't do that to me, TP. That's blasphemy. Don't do that to me. Come on.
You just said you were a UConn fan. What do you think?
I adopted UConn for football because it's in state, and I always loved the basketball team, but you know I've always been a Florida State fan. But I can't. Okay. They're not going to drop out. You can't drop them out.
You're not even listening to. You have to absorb a conversation before you respond. I just said I know that they're not going to scrap them, but how bad that they're playing. Please allow me to finish, and please fully listen to what I'm saying before you try to come for me and say that I'm being blasphemous. But this is blasphemous how they're playing football. This is bad that they lost to Notre Dame at home. They lost at home to Jacksonville State on a bomb, and I just found out yesterday the kid that hit the bomb, the defender that was playing defense on the bomb and didn't play it well, is the same brother to the player in the UCF Louisville game. The kid that dropped the pass that ended up being a pick six, the receiver, is brothers. They're Johnson brothers. So both of them had catastrophic plays to end the game in weeks after each other. And not just trying to put all of that on him, but if it's 6 seconds on the clock, they need a touchdown to win the game, everybody's supposed to get back. And I don't want to put that all on the player. I want to put that on the coaching. So that coaching staff needs help. They think Norville is going to do the job. I think that this is a 2 to 3 year window where I see turnaround for Florida State. I don't think you'll see it now, especially with them losing not only to Notre Dame, which I feel like they were charged up to make that an interesting game. They lose to Jacksonville State, where I've never really heard of them playing strong football ever in my college football memory. And then playing Wake Forest and getting blown out by Wake Forest, in which Florida State has dominated that matchup year in and year out. I feel like this could continue until they run into a team that is of lesser value. And I can't even, like, talk that junk because I feel like Jacksonville State was one of those teams, and Jacksonville State won that game late in Tallahassee. So, like, I'm not saying that they're going to scrap Florida State. I know I just said that at the beginning of me going at this. There's no way that they will because there's so much behind Florida State. But this is bad. I don't feel like this changes this year. I don't feel like it changes next year. I think the turnaround happens when some of these juniors and seniors leave and they get a new core or crop of players to come in into the state of Florida. And it's tough to see this happen right now, especially with Florida State playing like this for the past 3 years. The past three seasons, Florida State has been bad since Taggart was there and now Norville is there, and there's been no change. I think since Bobby left and then Jimbo left, the university's been in shambles on one of the things that carries that university, which is football.
Yeah, I think you're looking at Florida State and USC in the same light. I don't want to get too long because I know we got a lot to do, but they need coaches that can – I think it's a coaching thing. They need coaches that can recruit in-state, keep their guys, and I think Florida State in particular needs to change the culture. They listen, there's a guy coaching down south that should be the head coach of Florida State right now. And you know who I'm going to say, TP? Deion Sanders. You want to bring some excitement back to Florida State? Bring him home. I bet you he'll fix that organization, I mean that program, and get them back to where they need to be.
I think they tried that already, and I think talks have failed. But it depends on how he looks at Jackson State and if he can really coach this university to, like, some prominence, because I think he lost yesterday. But we will see if they do that with Deion and what he can do as a coach, just not for name value. He has to also bring wins to that university to be like, hey, he can coach primetime, not just his name being primetime, because name value don't mean nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to show something, because this is his first stint of coaching. You know, like, he's coached his son in you know, different levels. Now this is a bigger stage. So we'll see if he can get there. That's what I question about a lot of universities. I was actually saying that yesterday. I'm like, why doesn't Miami go after Ray Lewis? Ray Lewis is at home chilling or on Inside the NFL on HBO. It's like, you think he's going to sit up there forever? This guy has a wealth of knowledge. Go get him while his defense is suffering and they don't know how to tackle. Like, Ray is a legend, probably one of the top two, top three, if not the one best linebacker we've seen. I think the argument is between Ray and LT, and I'm going to get the edge of Cuzzo, but, like, shoot, that's a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, why watch all of the talent that you guys come back home and practice with and watch them continue to suffer when you got names that would definitely qualify to help run these schools? But we'll actually
Does Ray
see, like,
want a coach? Does Ray want a coach?
I hope he does. Somebody threaten him. Threaten him. Slap him. Like tell him he can't do – tell him he can't do the dance no more. Something, bring him back.
Yeah.
Like, and you got.
I never heard him say he wanted to coach.
Well,
you know, I never heard him say it, but I would think he would be a great coach. I think he would be a really good coach. I don't know. I just don't know his aspirations, but that's a really good pick.
Just follow me. I got you. Don't worry. Don't worry. I got you. Don't worry. So we're gonna get into the week two matchups, and we have 40 minutes left. The call the number is 929-477-2759. And it's good that we just got the three of us, so we can probably get to a lot of these games and get in-depth as best as possible. First and foremost, this is an interesting matchup out the gate. Is there anybody here that thinks the Bengals can go in the Soldier and steal this from the Bears coming off an interesting loss up against the Rams out the gate?
I don't think that they will, but I can see a scenario in which they can if Andy Dalton struggles and that kind of thing. Cincinnati looked really good early and then let Minnesota back in the game a week ago. And I think that you showed enough on tape to expose that defense a little bit. I feel like Chicago at home finds a way to get it done, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I wouldn't be shocked if Cincinnati pulled it off.
Barry, how do you feel about the matchup? Do you think the Bengals can steal one in Soldier?
Yes, I do. I think you're a home you're a home favorite by 1.5. You're not the favorite. And I think the Bears' pass defense left a lot to be desired. I've seen a lot better from them. Burrow and company with Chase mixing in the mix, I think they're going to score some points on this defense. I think they're going to take this game. I'm picking the Bengals.
Well, we have a split so far. And guess what, Barry? I am right with you. I think the Bengals go in the Soldier and steal this game. As long as Andy Dalton is quarterbacking for the Bears, I do not feel like he will be successful. I feel like they are ready to tear him out of that spot. I don't know what they're waiting for to wait till week 3 or week 4. I'm puzzled. I'm scratching my head on what you're waiting for. What is Andy Dalton going to get you guys to a playoff? Is he going to make you guys be 9-8 or 10-7? Like, I question that. So I think the Bengals get this done. Shout out to these LSU Tigers that are part of this Bengals team. I feel like Burrow, the better quarterback in this matchup. Is there anybody that picks the Houston Texans?
Shout out to Jamar Chase. He had a really tough preseason, and a lot of people were doubting him, and the guy showed up when the lights came on.
Yeah, I agree. If you got Mixon and Chase, start them in your lineup. I would put Burrow in your daily fantasy if you have him.
Well, see, I'm trying to let them talk. You know that? I let them do what they do. And every time I get rolling, one of them, somebody just want to say something while I start rolling. I try. Okay, so let me get going. So is there anybody that thinks the Houston Texans can go into Cleveland and stop the Browns?
No, okay, I don't think so. Give the Texans credit. They played a really good game last week, but that was the Jaguars. These are one of the class in the AFC and the Browns. I feel like the Jaguars were able to move the football against Houston last week. Expect a lot of the same from Cleveland. I think if you got Hunt, that's a nice flex option. Obviously, you're going to start Chubb. But even with OBJ out this game, he's not going to play with the knee. Just saw that come across my table. But I really think the Browns' offense is going to dominate this game. I think the defense is going to get after it. I don't think the Texans have a chance, but I would take the points. It's 11.5 at home for the Browns that they're laying. Take the points. I think the Browns will win probably by, like, they'll be up big and then kind of give up some late points to make it about a 10-point game.
I agree that they can make this a game, but for some odd reason, I feel like Cleveland will take care of business. Tyrod Taylor comes back to one of the scenes of the crimes that he committed a crime, not just like a crime, but playing ball there. And I think the Browns take care of business opening up the stadium, especially after an interesting loss up against Kansas City, where they made that an interesting one and lost late. The Rams at the Colts, the Rams are favored by 4. Who do you got? I'll start with you first on this one, Barry.
Yeah, I got the Rams. The Rams on the road laying 4 points. I'll take that any day. I wasn't really overly impressed with what I saw with the Colts in week 1. Interesting, though, I'm going to start Taylor. He is a starter, but I'm putting him in daily. I like him. I think the matchup with Matt Stafford, he's my QB1. For this week, I really like him against that Colts defense that kind of got carved up by Russell Wilson. So I think there's going to be a lot of points to be had in this game. Take the over 48. But I think the Rams on the road is going to steal this game.
Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Rams or Colts?
I'll make this real easy since we got a lot more to cover what he said.
Okay, I agree. I agree the Rams should win this game. I feel like the Colts defense can make this interesting, and also due to the fact that Matt Stafford played the Colts defense last year, and they went mayhem on him last year and picking him off several times, including a pick six. The next matchup we have are the Buffalo Bills going into Miami. Who you have in this matchup and why, Mike? Dolphins at home or the Bills on the road?
You know, this is an interesting matchup, especially with the Bills losing that game last week at home against Pittsburgh that a lot of people thought they should have found a way to win. The Dolphins coming off a win last week. But I'm going to go with the Dolphins at home. I'm going to say that the Bills are going to start this season 0-2, and I'm going to say that some people around Orchard Park are going to be a little worried when they try to circle the wagons. I think the Bills will be fine by the time the season is over. But I think the Dolphins find a way to get it done today at home.
Barry, who do you like in this matchup, Bills or Dolphins?
To quote Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. I like the Bills in this game on the road. They're laying 3.5 points. I'll take the points. I'll take the 3.5 for the Bills. I think they'll get back on track today. I thought the Dolphins didn't show me enough offensively. The Bills, I think they had some things that they can correct. I think the Steelers kind of just punched them in the mouth a little bit. So I do like the Bills in this game to get back on the winning track. I think they need to run the ball a little bit more. Singletary needs to get some touches, but I think they're going to do well against a turnover-happy Dolphins team that likes to commit a lot of turnovers, so Josh Allen has to take care of the football.
I agree with Barry. I'm going with the Bills on the road. They do get Cole Beasley back, and something has to give in that backfield, like he said. It can't just be Allen being a scrambler as much as possible, even though he's the dual-threat quarterback that can make the defense expand themselves, and he can pick up what they give him. So I think he gets it done up against the Dolphins. I think this will be an interesting one. While they are on the road in Miami, I think this will definitely be a nail-biter, especially with the spread being 3.5. But I think the Bills win this game in Miami in Hard Rock. We do have an interesting matchup. The Patriots are going to New Jersey in MetLife Stadium. Is there anyone that feels the Jets can upset the Patriots at home?
No.
Okay. If I was helping
you.
Absolutely. We were the panel. The silence is everything. And interesting enough, I'm not going to lie, I am a big Zach Wilson fan. I love the way that this guy plays football. But the one thing that rookies do struggle against is Bill Belichick when they come out of college. And I know that he has the home field advantage, and I know that this New York can't wait to see him play ball in front of them. But I just can't wait to see what type of interesting defensive schemes or packages they set up for Zach Wilson to try to make things happen. And I feel like this is an uphill battle, especially going on the road up against Carolina and losing an interesting one. He comes back home up against the Patriots. Interesting enough, the spread is 6, basically a touchdown. And it's rookie against rookie. It's Mac Jones versus Zach. So we'll see who is the better rookie quarterback. A lot on the line for both of them, as this is a division battle or rivalry. The 49ers go on the road up against the Eagles.
Real quick, TP, I like Mac Jones in this game. If you have him for fantasy, give him a start. I would definitely use him for daily if you want to get cheap and go heavy on some running backs. I like Harris in this game, too. I think he's going to get some nice points for you. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to run the ball. But, yeah, I don't think the Jets really have a chance to win this game. I like the Pats.
I think the more interesting question is, like Sam Darnold in previous years, will Zach Wilson see ghosts before this game's over?
I don't think he will. I think he has the moxie. He just doesn't have the offensive line. I think he showed some nice things in the second half against the Panthers, but they just don't have the offensive line. They can't. They're not going to be able to keep him upright this year. And Becton's hurt. Becton's down. So another sexy pick is the defense. If you have the Patriots defense, I think they're going to get after.
Okay. Can I go first? I just want to make sure y'all okay, because they are ready. Fourthly, I'm happy that they hungry today. They are ready to be fed. That is first and foremost. The Niners are on the road up against the Eagles. This is an interesting matchup because I did not expect the Eagles to go into Atlanta and steal that against the Falcons. That lets me know a lot about where the Falcons are at this point in time. The Niners actually had a heavy scoring total up against the Lions, but the Lions tried to come back and steal the game. But the Niners did end up winning that game 41-33. This is a battle of the undefeated. It's 1-0 up against 1-0. Who do you guys have? I'll start with you first, Barry. Niners or Eagles in Philly?
This is an interesting game, to your point, TP. You know, the line is pretty close. It's 3 on the road that San Francisco's laying. I struggle with this one, but I like the 49ers for two reasons. One, I hate the Eagles. But two, because I think offensively they're going to be able to score some points. They're going to be able to run the ball. I was very impressed with Elijah Mitchell week one. I think Mike Sanders for Philly had a nice game as well. But I think the combination of the running game and the play action to Deebo Samuel might be a lot for that Philly defense, who looked good in week one. But I think that was more because the Falcons' offensive line is atrocious. I think they're up against a better team in San Francisco, and I think San Francisco takes it.
Mike, who do you like in this matchup, the Niners or the Eagles?
Well, I like to go on record and say that I did take the Eagles last week. I thought they would win in Atlanta. One of the other things that made this Eagles defense look good last week is the rookie Kyle Pitts still has not figured out yet how to get separation at all at this level. I'm going to go with the Niners simply because I think they're a more talented roster from top to bottom. I'm a little nervous about it. This is one of the kind of toss-up games in the week, one of the ones that as I look through, I don't feel as confident on, but I'm going to take the Niners.
I agree. I'm going to go with the Niners as well in this matchup. Moving right along, this is a very interesting matchup. We have the Las Vegas Raiders going into Pittsburgh up against the Steelers. Another 1-0 matchup from both teams. The Raiders with the shock of the week to me, knocking off the Ravens, and the Steelers with another shock of the week going into Buffalo, stealing the game from the Bills. Mike, I'll let you go first. Who do you like in this matchup, Raiders or Steelers?
When in doubt, take the home team. I think the Steelers had a really nice week last week. Or the Ravens showed you that you can move the ball and score on the Raiders, and I think the Steelers have the better defense. So I'll take Pittsburgh at home.
Barry, how about yourself? Who do you like in this matchup, Raiders or Steelers?
Oh, wow. I actually like the Steelers. I wasn't overly impressed with their – I think it was an impressive win for them to go into Buffalo and get that win. I was more impressed with the Raiders' week one win against the Ravens. I thought they did some really nice things, but the running game kind of was a little wasn't there for me because they threw a lot. Carr had a really good game, threw 56 times. Pitt, I would take the points. They're laying 5.5. I think they'll win by a touchdown, but don't be surprised if their weapons go off. I think Waller is going to kind of get walled up in there, so I expect I respect the receivers and Josh Jacobs to have a good game. I think Harris, all the offensive snaps, was a good sign that they really like him. And the Raiders gave up a lot of rushing yards to the Ravens. So I think Harris is going to have a big game. If you have him, especially for Daly, start him.
I think Jacobs is out, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking that up right now to figure out if Jacobs is going to go. I still do favor the Steelers at home. Carr is going to have to prove to me that he can win. I'm getting text right now. Carr has to prove to me that he can win a big game in Hines. If he can go into Hines and steal this one from this Steelers team, and not only that, but this is one of the last couple of years or year. I don't know how it is, but I like Ben. We'll see if Ben has it in him to actually put up better stats. Even though they won last week, he did not have a great statistical game, but did enough to help win this matchup. We do have Aaron in the building. Aaron, I'm trying to get you in here. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm good, man. How are you doing, Mom? I felt it in my spirit. You know, I'm like, I'm feeling like
okay, I'll ask you how you're doing. Okay, so we'll continue to roll.
I'm good.
Yeah, they having their own conversation, man. Y'all see what I got to deal with so much today.
It's ironic that we're talking Steelers and Raiders, and here comes Sirius, right?
And he's popping, right. So you know what he's doing. He's listening when he wants to. I get it. I understand that. Okay, so
your thoughts
on the
Sirius will tell you the Lord.
Aaron, seriously, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. I don't. That's what he'll tell you, right, TP? The Lord moves in mysterious ways.
In fairness, I was here for the last game, bro. I was there, but he is in the Lord.
All right.
Next.
Aaron, your thoughts on the game, please, Raiders and Steelers.
Obviously, I'm picking the Steelers in this matchup, man. I'm not going to, you know, bore the rest of you guys with my, you know, eloquent soliloquy on what I feel the game is going to come down to. I definitely did speak about that on numerous occasions this past week. I just think that we'll be able to move the football more successfully than we did last week. It is our home opener. That's the first time in 2 years that Big Ben and the Steelers team has played in front of home fans. So I expect it to be electric. The Raiders are missing some significant pieces, both the offense and the defense side of the football, including Josh Jacobs. So if you got Kenyon Drake, you know, plug him into your lineup, he will get the bulk of the volume. So with that being said, I expect the Steelers to win, and I need them to win big.
Okay, the next matchup I have is the Saints going into North Carolina up against the Panthers. How do you guys feel about this matchup in which the Saints are actually down 6 coaches, 1 player? The player is Thomas. Mike Thomas is already out due to injury, but the COVID is actually ravaged at least the coaching staff. But I'll come right back to you, Aaron. I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this one, Saints or Panthers on the road in Carolina?
You know what? I wouldn't necessarily call it an upset, but I'm taking Carolina here. There's just so much circling around the Saints. You know, when you lose coaches and coordinators, that definitely takes a toll on everybody else. I need to see it a couple more times from Jameis. Like, he looked super good last week. Technically a home game, although they were on the road. I need to see more from Jameis. I think the Carolina Panthers are going to really play an excellent ball game and come out with a much-needed victory tonight. Give me the Panthers.
Barry, your thoughts on this matchup, Panthers or Saints?
Panthers had a pretty decent game in week one against the Jets. Spoiler alert, they're not playing the Jets this week. I like to say it's Saints are laying 3 points. Take that. That defense is going to get after Sam Darnold. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, though. But they're not going to win. I like the Saints.
Mike, you being the resident Saints guy, how and when do you guys pull this off in this game? What do you guys have to do to win in Carolina?
First, you know, you're a little worried with all the coaching things and everything going on, but if the Saints take care of the football and get after it on defense, they'll be fine. I think that there are points to be had. I feel like the Carolina should have, and everything was on the table for them to win more impressively last week against the Jets. And, yeah, Jameis still has to continue to prove more to me, and I know he has had previous seasons with a lot of turnovers, but he's still more accomplished than the starting quarterback on the other side so far in the NFL. And so I think as long as the Saints take care of the football and they play defense, I think they'll be fine. I will say, though, that Saints-Panthers series on a regular, like those division games always tend to be very close, and this is on the road and you're missing a lot of key components, but I think the Saints find a way to get it done in Carolina and start the season 2-0.
Okay, I agree. I'm iffy on it, though, because I feel like Vegas is up to something with that 3-point spread. I feel like they're up to something. But I'm going to go with the Saints. But Darnold actually proved me wrong in that Jets game. I thought that would be a tough one, and they actually pulled that one out. The Panthers are still at home, comfy in their own beds. But the way that the Saints actually played a good game up against the Packers, this has to roll over. If it doesn't, I have questions, but I'm going to go with the Saints. The next matchup we have, the Broncos versus the Jaguars. The Broncos are favored by 6 in Jacksonville. Is there anybody that feels that Trevor Lawrence can get his first win up against the Denver Broncos?
No, sorry, I was on mute. Nope, don't see that happening. I like the Broncos.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I like the Broncos defense. I think if you got Teddy Bridgewater, he's a nice fantasy option. Just to rack some points. I think the Broncos defense is going to get after Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to make them 0-2. I like the Broncos. Broncos laying 6 on the road. I'll take that.
It was funny to me because they said last week that was the first regular season game that Trevor Lawrence has ever lost in his life or get ready to lose to.
Okay, I will continue to move on. The next matchup we have is the Minnesota Vikings going into Arizona. Can the Vikings turn this thing around and upset the Cardinals after a huge win up against Tennessee in Nashville last week? Is there anybody that believes that the Vikings can turn this thing around up against the Cardinals?
No.
I think they can. I think they can, but they will not.
Okay, interesting enough. We are getting unanimous decisions across the board, and it's going to continue. Is there anybody that feels like the Atlanta Falcons can go into Tampa Bay and knock off Thomas Brady and company in Tampa?
No, that's an easy one. Listen, Atlanta's in trouble. They should have blown it up this year. They should have got their quarterback. They didn't do it. They're going to pay for it dearly by having these type of games. I think the Panthers at home, a minimum, are going to score 40 points on that defense. It's going to be ugly. They're laying 12.5. That's easy, 12.5 to take. Take that.
Buccaneers
are laying 12.5.
He said Carolina.
You said the Panthers. Yeah, I know. That's why I said the Buccaneers.
Did I say, Panthers?
No, I think that's my kid in the background.
To your point, this is going to be a very, very lean draft class for quarterbacks, too. So I think you're right. They should have gotten a quarterback, and I think they're going to pay dearly for it for a while.
Okay, Barrett, anything else that you'd like to add? I'm sorry that I cut you off. I was just trying to help you say that it was the Bucs.
No. Other than that, if you have Gronk, I think Mike Evans gets off today, I would start him. Falcons, they're a mess. Matt Ryan's fault, but it should have done my favorite. I expect a big blowout.
Okay. So I think across the board, everybody's going Tampa on this matchup, right? So we do have an interesting matchup. The Dallas Cowboys go on the road up against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 3 at home. This is very interesting to see what the Chargers have up their sleeve. This is a very interesting primetime game. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I'll actually go first. I feel like the Chargers win this game. Something's up. I really feel like there's smoke, there's fire. I don't feel like Vegas will just hand you this over like this. Something is up. Herbert is probably going to have a good game up against this secondary. Dallas' secondary is still questionable, especially the way that they were letting Tampa Bay's offense, even though their offense is critical, they have some of the best receivers in the game, but they couldn't stop anything in the secondary. Their front seven has actually stepped up and got better, but there's a lot of injuries up front. Lawrence is out. Gregory is out, to name a few. I think the Cowboys go 0-2 out of the gate. I'll come to you next on this one. Mike, your thoughts, Cowboys at Chargers. How do you feel about this matchup?
I think you're right, actually. When I looked at it early season, a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans thought they were just going to win this game, and I told them, not so fast, even before the season started. Look at them being at home. Look at also some of the injuries on the defensive front for the Cowboys, like you said. And so I expect the Chargers to get it done at home on Sunday night.
Okay. How about you, Aaron? How do you feel about the matchup?
You know, it's weird. You know, I don't want to do it, but something is telling me Dallas wins this ball game. And the reason why I'm about to say that is because it's a shootout. It's going to be a shootout. I honestly believe that Dallas has the bigger gun when it comes to just throwing the rock and high-powered offense. And I trust Dak more than Herbert right now. And I'm sick to my stomach as I'm saying this, but give me Dallas in the upset.
Okay, Barry, do you agree or disagree with Aaron?
Not so fast, my friend. I think the Cowboys get off to an 0-2 start, and it's not because they're a bad team. I don't think they're a bad team. I look at these two reasons. One, the Chargers offense is pretty damn good. I think they're going to move the ball pretty well against that defense. And I think the Cowboys' injuries are really going to start to hammer them down the stretch. So you're talking about Lawrence is out, Gregory's out, Gallup's out, Martin's already out. Their safety, Donovan Wilson, is out as well. I don't think he practiced with a groin injury. I think that's a lot of injuries. Even though they have Dak, I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to run the ball very well against this Chargers defense that gave up over 100 yards on the ground last week. I think the Chargers are going to win a shootout.
So this could get ugly. Okay. So, I don't know how I want to look at this, man, because that's interesting, man. But we'll see, man. I really feel like the Chargers could get this done. The next matchup I have is probably the best 4 o'clock matinee game that we have is the Tennessee Titans after a devastating loss up against the Cardinals, try to redeem themselves on the road up in Seattle up against the 12th man and the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, and he is not playing any games at this point in time. I'll come to you first on this one, Barry. Who do you have in this one, Tennessee or Seattle?
Tennessee will go 0-2 this year. Seattle is taking this thing at home. I like Chris Carson in this game. I have him in all of my dailies. If you got him, if you got him, light him. Russell Wilson will have a nice game, but I think the running game is going to be key. Titans could not stop a nosebleed. I think they're going to get pushed around by this offense. I like Seattle in this game. Seattle's giving 6 points. Take it.
Aaron, who do you like in this matchup? Titans or Seahawks?
Honestly, gentlemen, I'm going Seattle here. Barry literally said exactly what I was about to say. The Titans can't stop a nosebleed. They got beat over the top a significant amount last week, and in comes Russell Wilson. See, Malik agrees with me. In comes Russell Wilson. And his assortment of weapons to do the same dang on thing yet again. So with that being said, give me Seattle. I think this is going to get ugly, and people are going to start looking at the Tennessee Titans weirdly. I do think if you got both running backs, you know, Derrick Henry, Chris Carr, I think it's good to start them. I think both of those guys are going to really tote the rock and get their work done. But at the end of the day, the Titans can't stop anybody, and Seattle's at home. That 12th man is no joke.
Okay. And, Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Titans or Seahawks?
As Barry said, smoke them if you got them. What it really comes down to in this game is Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill. I'll take the Seahawks. The one thing that Russell Wilson does as good as anybody in the league, too, is throws that deep ball. If you were getting beat over the top last week, you're going to get beat over the top again. And the one thing that I will say, though, even though the Titans start 0-2, it's only 2 weeks, still 15 games to go. And in that division, they will not get looked at quite as weirdly as they will in some others. It just may be that people are starting to dismiss them from being a team that could really contend deep into the playoffs. I think the Titans go 0-2, but I still think they win this division. But they're not going to win today.
And I like Tannehill to start, too.
Do you have everything out of your system? Do you have everything out of your system?
I'm good.
Okay. I want to make sure. I'm going against the panel. I think Tennessee goes in there and disrupts the 12th man. I think Derrick Henry finally gets started. I've actually seen the Seahawks defense live. I am not impressed. They have a running attack, and they're going to have to challenge that secondary. I don't see the secondary being a threat to Julio and AJ at the same time. They have to think about what Tannehill has in front of him. Tannehill has to expose his defense and pick up yardage on the ground himself to make them stay honest. I think Tennessee gets on the board and gets their first win of the season. I'm going against the panel. The Sunday night matchup, the Chiefs on the road, up against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens coming off of a devastating loss up against the Raiders in overtime. Lamar Jackson with some critical fumbles, including the one that happened in overtime that ended up costing them. Is there anybody that feels the Ravens can protect their house up against the track meet, a.k.a. the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, the villain thinks that I think the Chiefs are going to just score at will. I did not like what I saw from that defense in Baltimore last week against the Raiders. I think you're going to see a lot more of the same. I think Mahomes finally gets comfortable this week. I think he was kind of moved off his spot a little bit last week against the Browns. I don't see the Ravens being able to do that. They're going to score a lot of points.
Anybody else want to say anything before we get away from this matchup? Because this is a very interesting one. I feel like this is almost like the new age version of the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady matchup, but for some strange reason, Mahomes has a clear-cut edge, and I think it's because of the cast that's outside of the quarterback, not just the quarterback. But this is the way that I look at the Baltimore organization. They're not trying to put the pieces that Lamar has around them, and if he wins, he's the ultimate Superman. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Baltimore, if you guys don't pull this together in the next year or two, what are you trying to do? You're going to end up throwing him a big contract and for what? So put some weapons around him. I agree. I don't think the Chiefs lose here and now up against the Ravens. The last but not least, the Lions are on the road up against the Packers Monday night. Interesting column that I read this morning. Guess who is talking junk about the worst team in football? And guess who said it? Well, no, you guys aren't going to guess who said it. But I'll just say this. Troy Aikman said the worst team in the NFL is the Green Bay Packers. I scratched my head crazy. I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, what? Is one loss got you puzzled like this? And he goes on and literally picks it apart and not really trying to put a lot of it at the feet of Aaron Rodgers, but he was. But he's talking about the defensive issues that they do have and watching them win, watching the Saints win a game where they didn't really have too many stats to, like, crush them. Like, they just the Packers came out the gate flat. And I feel like this is a situation where they can rebound. It's Monday night opening up Lambeau for their fans. I feel like the Lions are in trouble, as much as my heart is involved with this game and want to see them go up there and steal this one. But to read Aikman say that this morning is, like, wowing. And knowing that I know a lot of people that are Cowboy fans, they say Aikman is so critical when he's down on the team, he'll stay on them. And for me to see this, it's like, how long will he stay in this momentum? And especially with them going up against the Lions, and I could just imagine what Aaron Rodgers will say if and when they do win this matchup. We can go around because we do have time left before we close out. I'll come to you on this one first, Mike. Your thoughts on the statement that Troy Aikman made, and who do you like in the matchup also?
I think that Troy Aikman is sensationalizing 1 week, and he is doing what the classic fan does, and as a player and a person that's supposed to be knowledgeable of the game, you should know better than that. They did not look good last week, but they weren't the only team that didn't play well. And so to call them the worst team in the NFL, come on, you're just throwing shade at a former rival. Get over yourself, Troy. I believe that first and foremost. I do believe the Packers find a way to get this win. I will say that I was very impressed with the heart of the lion, so to speak, last week and the way they fought back. And so I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as maybe some thought it would have been going into the season. But I think the Packers find a way to go 1-1 after this week.
Okay, Barry, how about you? How do you feel about the statement that was made and also the thoughts on the game as well?
Yeah, that's his opinion. I don't agree with it. I'll just leave it at that. I think the Lions are going to be outmatched in this game. I like pretty much every offensive weapon for the Packers. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it close, but I think the Packers will pull away and win this game. I was impressed with what I saw with the Lions in week one offensively in the second half. You hope they can kind of turn that over into today's game, I mean tomorrow's game. But I just like what I saw. I don't like what I saw. I mean, in the first half with the Lions, I think it's going to be more of that. I think the Packers will blitz them early.
And Aaron, last but not least, your thoughts on the statement and thoughts on the game.
You know, honestly, man, I think it's a clean sweep here. I do believe the Packers will win this one. I do believe they will win it going away. I just honestly believe that when you get punched in the mouth, you know, like the Green Bay Packers were yesterday, and you you know, kind of lick your wounds and come back. And you have, you know, a listless, you know, Detroit Lions team looking in front of you. I just honestly believe that they're just going to unleash a can. So I disagree with my man, Mike. I think this is going to get ugly. I think it'll be ugly quickly. I'm with Barry on this. You know, if you got a Green Bay Packer in your fantasy lineup, you know, I start them. Hell, if I could start the Cowboy, I'll start the Cowboy. I just don't think that the Detroit Lions match up across the board. Jeff Okuda, you know, who you drafted a season ago, goes down. That's a corner. Obviously, he, you know, leapfrogged the person who replaced them. Now you're going to ask him to sit out there and cover these receivers. It's going to get ugly quickly. So we'll see what happens with it, man. I'm honestly, you know, I'd be shocked if it's within 10 points. I'd be shocked if it's within 10 points.
I think this is a tough game for the Lions again to go into Lambeau while they open up the stadium. But for some odd reason, at 11.5, I'm questioning the number, especially the way that they came out the gate and let the Niners run the scoreboard up and they had to fight their way to get back into the game. This is a very interesting matchup, to say the least. I think that 11.5 may be in jeopardy, so I'm watching that closely. But I do need plugs and closeouts from each of you as we are at the end of the show. I will start with you first, Mr. Simmons. Give me a plug, closeout, shout-out as we shut the doors here at the Brunch.
Yo, man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Sunday Brunch, man. I don't get to do too many of these, so I'm definitely glad when I get the opportunity, man. Definitely keep, you know, those of you guys who are supporting us, definitely check us out. We're on YouTube now doing the little finger foods. We're on the blog. Again, I always say this, you give honor where honor is due. Shout-out to those who paved the way and created this platform for us to do what we love. Definitely check us out on Clubhouse. We got the barbershop, man. Again, if you like what you hear across these airways, man, you get a lot of that over there, plus some giveaways and prizes and T-shirts and the merchandise is, you know, outrageous on both sides. So definitely if you want to rock a Sports City Chefs fitted or, you know, Clubhouse hoodie, man, definitely let us know. We know how to get in contact with people to get that over to you, man. With that being said, man, enjoy the game today, y'all. Be safe out there, and Lord willing, I'll catch up with you guys on the next one, Mike.
Okay, Mike, give me a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the Brunch.
Real quick, and Sirius just kind of hit up on it, but we have barbershop merchandise. We got T-shirts. We're still going to sell those, and even though it's starting to get cold, you guys still going to the gym, so you need a high-quality T-shirt if you want to work out in and just represent. Got hoodies as well, snapbacks coming down the line. Also, Sports City Chefs, also much love and respect to TP for bringing me on, letting me be part of the group. Always enjoy chopping up with you guys. Respect to the chefs and respect to the brunch. Nobody serves it up like you, Time, and you definitely had plenty to serve up today. At the barbershop on Clubhouse, we have it a watch-along. We have it on Saturdays for college football. We have it a watch-along today for NFL games, so last week we had somebody reporting from a game, and so we will have updates on touchdowns, people watching scores and giving feedback on games happening around the league. So come in, check us out, spend some time with us at the barbershop, and tune in to all the Sports City Chef shows, and thanks again for having me, bro.
And last but not least, the villain himself, plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the Brunch.
No, listen, always a pleasure doing a show with you, TP. Love doing a show with you, the other chef, Sirius, and the other chef, Mike. Shout out to you boys. Shout out to the Clubhouse, Barbershop. They do big things over there. Get to the website. You got blogs, interviews, and stuff going up. The new merch is available. Get that. Make sure you check us out, the Finger Food Editions. We got a little shorts on YouTube channel for Sports City Chef, so check us out there. We're everywhere. All streaming apps. We got content coming constantly. We're feeding you guys, so just get in there and eat. So always a pleasure, TP, and I'm out.
Sports City, you already know how this go down. Sports City Chefs, check out the website. We got mad stuff going on over there. We got new content coming. We got more shows coming. The college tailgate probably will take place this Saturday. Stay tuned to everything we got, whether we on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're doing it all. You already know how this go down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs.
Connecticut.